Amen. 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 Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 to 34, we'll take this all together as a unit. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon, money. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now in this particular passage here, you want to remember, it's been a couple of weeks now since we've studied back in this passage, but we want to kind of remind yourself, you're listening to Jesus Christ speaking to a bunch of Jewish disciples about conduct when Jesus Christ is ruling in his kingdom. And everything up to this point has been about the kingdom of heaven, which we know is an earthly, literal, visible kingdom here on the earth. But now all of a sudden he introduces for the first time the kingdom of God, and he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven have some similarities. For instance, they have the same king. But they have many differences, and one of the great differences is that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And it's a kingdom concerning righteousness, whereas the kingdom of heaven has a lot to do with conduct and getting along with each other and all that kind of thing. And so primarily these instructions that Jesus Christ gives to the Jews attack something. He says to them, don't be concerned with temporal things, be concerned with eternal things. Don't worry about what you look like when you put on your clothes. Don't worry about what kind of food you're going to eat or what you have to drink. Those are things that Gentiles worry about, but don't worry about that. Your Father knows that you have need of all those things. Concern yourself with the kingdom of God. Concern yourself with His righteousness. But you know, the Jews were not like that. The Pharisees were real concerned with their outward appearance, weren't they? They wore the long robes and they had these things called phylacteries, which were sections of the law that they had on the wrist and on their forehead, and they were real concerned with the outward appearance. The Lord got on them and said, your outward appearance looks beautiful, but the inside is evil, it's wicked. And they were concerned a lot with eating and drinking. They got over Jesus Christ because one day he ate without washing his hands, and they said, man, you don't keep the tradition of the elders. They got off track. And so the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, showed up and introduced to them the kingdom of God, said, seek this. But did they do it? Did they succeed? As a group, no. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. They didn't succeed in it. They were still too concerned with temporal things. Romans chapter 10. And look at verse 1. Romans chapter 10, verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, so he's talking about a national thing here, is that they might be saved, for I bear them record, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now watch the problem. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, didn't he say, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness? They being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So they missed that. They missed that. And that's the gist of what you're dealing with here. And we want to understand that in the case of what Jesus Christ was doing with those Jews, is he was telling them there is a difference between the kingdom of God. In Romans 14 he said, it's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. He said the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, but it's within you. Spiritual kingdom. So they missed it. Now that's the gist of what you've seen here. They got their eyes on the wrong thing. But in this passage, there are some universal truths that you and I cannot fail to overlook. There's some things in here that we can draw, the things that apply to us. For instance, one of the first things we see in the passage that has some application to us is you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and your wife. We were driving on the train and we went from Hungary into Austria. So the Hungarian and Austrian customs agents boarded the train. And they came up to us and they spoke in broken English. You need to see your passports. So we took the passports out. And opened up one and they looked at that and said, Corinne. Well, there she is, already asleep. And then Katerina. There's Catherine right there. Oh, yeah, you look like yourself. Elizabeth. Ah, there she is. Then they opened up my passport and said, Chief. Open up Ann's passport. Boss. It's a universal problem. Got it everywhere. You can't serve two masters. It's impossible. Look, and every time in Jewish history that there was great choices to be made concerning who they would serve, there were great men like Joshua and Elijah to call them to task on who they would serve. Look in Joshua chapter 24. Very famous passage. Joshua chapter 24 and look at verse 15. Very famous passage. Joshua was getting ready to die. He'd taken the Jews into the promised land. They succeeded in winning wars over 31 kings. They were now in possession of the land in great part. And he said, I'm getting ready to die now, and you got to make some choices. And here's the choices you got to make. Joshua 24:15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that choice. And, you know, a lot of people have that on their a door knocker on their door, or an emblem on their door. It's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. So Joshua called them to task on that. Of course, they didn't follow what he said, and they went after false gods. And we read about those in Judges as early as Judges chapter 2. Now turn on your way back to Matthew to 1 Kings chapter 18 and look at verse 21. 1 Kings chapter 18, look at verse 21. This is Elijah. They're up in Israel, the 10 northern tribes, under the rule of Ahab. They're having real problems with serving Baal. Baal worship. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah makes this great proclamation before the Jews. And he says this in 1 Kings 18, 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? They'll slow you down when you're trying to make a choice. Stop and go, which way should I go? Fork in the road. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They didn't make a choice at that point. You remember Peter Marshall? How many of you remember Peter Marshall? Peter Marshall was the great preacher that preached before our Congress and Senate. And I have a recording of one of his messages where he came before the United States government to preach a message, and this was the text right here. If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow Him. Man, that was a powerful message. And boy, what a timely message. It's one our government needs today. Amen? Yeah. So you can't serve two masters. That's a given. That's why from time to time when we talk about modern translations, you hear me talk about the phrase dual authority. Dual authority means you've got one person saying this and another person saying this, and you've got to decide which one to go for. Dual authority. If a modern translation contradicts the King James Bible, then you've got to make a choice which one you're going to follow. See? And you can't serve two. Eve was given specific command through Adam from God. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Don't eat the fruit. And the devil came in and said, it won't hurt you if you eat it. You won't surely die. If you eat it, your eyes are going to be open. You should be as gods, knowing good and evil. She saw that the tree was pleasant to the eyes, one that was good for food, one to be desired to make one wise. And based upon that, she chose to eat. And look what happened. We, until we die, have got to face sin as a regular problem in our lives. You can't serve two masters. If God says one thing, you serve Him, you got to do what He said. That's a universal truth. It's a very practical truth for us. But that's not all in our text here. Not only do you see that you can't serve two masters, you can't, as a result, then you can't serve God and money simultaneously. A drastic problem. Drastic problem. You can't serve God and money simultaneously. And the reason that I say it's a drastic problem is because you and I have got, so to speak, got to make a living. And so there is a certain requirement upon us about what we're going to do when we're out there in the job. And here's the problem. Welcome. We're studying Matthew chapter 6 this morning. We are in verse 24, taking that text in our lesson and taking a cross-reference out of Matthew chapter 6 to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible says you can't serve two masters, you can't serve God and mammon. 1 Timothy 6:10, just the first part, the love of money is the root of all evil. Alright, if you love God, then you're not going to love money. And if you love money, then you're not going to love God. That's the problem. He didn't say the possession of money is the root of all evil. Some people are blessed with the possession of more money than others. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. A person can be penniless and love money, and he's gonna have it in him as a root of all evil. A person can have a lot of money and not love it and not be stuck with that root. All right, so that's one of the problems. And turn to Romans chapter 16 and notice what happens to people when it enters into the ministry. That is, when the love of money enters into the ministry. Romans chapter 16. It affects the preaching. Romans chapter 16, look at verses 17 and 18. Romans chapter 16, look at verses 17 and 18. Now beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Watch it. They that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? They can't serve Him because they serve their own belly. See that? You can't serve two masters. If you serve your own belly, then there's no way to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be serving your belly. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. So it's just a universal truth. It is a practical truth. Number one, that you can't serve two masters, and if that be true, then you can't serve God and money at the same time. That's just true. And you know, when people lose sight of that, one of the criticisms that I heard when we were in Europe and we visited with folks about the Lord, which we did occasionally and from time to time, one of the criticisms they had was the accumulation of wealth by the churches. And you know, if you've ever been there or you've ever seen any of the pictures, the church is the biggest building in town, and it's right next door to the Parliament building, and they kept their hand in government the whole way through. And they accumulated their wealth the same way basically the Parliament did, by taking it from the people. And once that becomes the service, then there's no more service of God. And people marveled. I said, I wonder how. They asked me, said, do you have young people in our church? I said, our church goes from the earliest ages to the latest stages. We cover the gamut. And how do you get the young people in there? I said, well, we simply preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God, and they come, I guess, because Mom and Dad told them to. But presumably to hear the words of God. And I said, that's what happened to these European churches, and unfortunately what's happened to the American churches, the Word of God's not being preached. You know why? They're not serving the Lord in many cases. But the truth of the matter is, if you serve the Lord, okay, then you're not going to get stuck with serving money, and that's a great thing. All right, now another truth that we find in the text that we've read here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34 are these. The more you serve God, the less concerned you will be with your basic necessities. Go back here, he says in verse 25 of Matthew chapter 6, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink. Well, you've got to eat and you've got to drink if you're going to survive, right? But he said, don't worry about it. Don't take any thought for your life what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, nor yet for your body what you should put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? So the more you serve God, the less concerned you will be with your basic necessities. They're just not going to be as important to you. And so, you know, sometimes you might want to say, well, how can I gauge whether I'm really serving God and the kingdom of God? Well, consider how much of your mind and emotion and money, the attitude toward eating and drinking and clothing yourself and sheltering yourself has, you know, occupies your time and effort. Look, for instance, at Jesus, Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. What was Jesus' main concern when he came to the world? What was his main concern? I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Main concern. And in an effort to do that, he had to die. So consequently, when some people were curious about being his disciples, one came to him in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, he said, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Didn't even concern himself with the house. Did he serve God? Yes, he did fully. He said, "I do always those things that please him." So it's true, the more you serve God, the less concerned you will be with your basic necessities. What about Paul? Did he serve the Lord well? Yeah, he sure did, even unto death, right? And in Paul's life, we've recently studied in Corinthians the testimony of Paul and the things that he suffered, and he said he suffered hunger and thirst, not only voluntarily when he fasted, but many times he just didn't have the food and didn't have the water to drink. And that just happened to be that way. And what was his attitude about all that? Was he upset with God about it? Not hardly. Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is what Paul's attitude was about the fact that sometimes he didn't have much. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I both know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." But food and raiment and water and stuff, that wasn't Paul's main concern. His main concern was serving God. And so he just wasn't that much concerned with his basic necessities. How about Job? Was Job very concerned with his basic necessities? Not really, and you don't have to turn there, but in Job 23:12 he said, "I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So that's one of the practical truths that we can draw from this passage of Scripture in our own lives. The more we serve God, the less concerned we're going to be with our basic necessities. The converse is true also from the text. The more you serve money, the more concerned you're going to be with your basic necessities. That's a truth. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and in verse 26, 27, 28, right in there, he says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these." Solomon was the richest king. And Solomon, you know, went to great lengths to increase his wealth. And so the truth is, the more that we serve money, the more concerned we'll be with our basic necessities. All right? Jesus Christ preached, and when Jesus Christ preached, he stirred the interest of the crowd. Whether they accepted what he said or not, he still stirred the interest of the crowd. They either went for that, or they opposed him, and opposed him so much they wanted to kill him. There wasn't a lot of middle ground with Paul's preaching. There wasn't a lot of middle ground with Jesus' preaching. They took him seriously, for sure. And one time when he was preaching in Luke chapter 18, a rich young ruler came up to him. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. And this is so true of faith that is obscured by wealth. Luke chapter 18, look at verse 18. "A certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, why did he ask that question? Why did he ask the question? He asked it because he knew that he didn't have it. If he knew he had it, he wouldn't have bothered to ask. "I haven't asked the Lord lately what I need to do to have eternal life." Why? Because I got it. I've told some people how to get it, but hadn't had to ask about it. But this man asked, and one of the reasons he asked is that he knew he didn't have it. Well, you know this episode real well. We've talked about it repeatedly. But look in verse 22. When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou should have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." The Lord told him how to have eternal life. It had to do, in his case, with departing from his wealth, and he didn't do it. In verse 24, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" Because the man depended upon his wealth. Now, you know something? I know something about people that are wealthy. One of the things about them is they don't spend all of their money. They save it. That's why they're wealthy. And they like accumulation. And they make great plans about the distribution of their wealth when they die. Did you see in verse 22 what the Lord promised him? We have a saying that says, you can't take it with you, right? In this case, God promised him that he could. Look what he said. Distribute unto the poor, right in the middle of verse 22. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have what? Treasure in heaven. That's the greatest investment plan that had ever been proposed to that man, and he missed it. Why? Because he served money, and when you serve money, you're not concerned about eternal things. You're concerned about temporal things. And it blinded him because he was concerned about his basic necessities. So were the Pharisees. Jesus Christ gave this same statement we read here in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. This statement we read here about you can't serve God and mammon, he gave in Luke 16, 13. He said, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Watch the problem. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard these things, and what did they do? Just what he said. They derided him. If you love that money, you're going to hate me. And that's exactly what they did. So these are practical truths. So we need to keep these things in mind, that the more we serve God, the less concerned we're going to be about these temporal things, and the more we serve money, the more concerned we're going to be about our basic necessities. There's something else that we found in our text here in Matthew chapter 6. The more you serve God, the greater your faith will be. The more you serve God, the greater your faith will be. Look what he said in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 6. "Where if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of what? Little faith." See? The more you serve God, the greater your faith will be. It was an amazing thing that we saw take place in the early church when the church first got started. You want to go over there real quick and remind yourself of it in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, and look at verse 31. In the beginning of things, those men and women that served the Lord had a great deal of faith. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, "When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing thing. This isn't mine, this is God's, and therefore it's yours. If you have a need, I'll be glad to take care of it for you. Verse 34, "Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." See how different that is than we are today? Today now the churches have financial planning seminars. And the Christian radio stations have financial planning seminars. And they're designed to teach the Christians how to get out of debt. And they're also designed to teach Christians how to save up and accumulate wealth. In the church, when they had a great deal of faith, they didn't concern themselves with personal accumulation of wealth. They concerned themselves with the necessities of others and even sold their own possessions to make sure those needs were met. Isn't that amazing? So the more you serve God, the greater your faith will be. And they certainly serve God well. The converse is true. The more you serve money, the less your faith will be. He said to them, "O ye of little faith." By contrast to the way that the church sold possessions and gave the money, I want to remind you in Acts chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do when they sold their possession? Kept back a part. Get back and park. Because the Bible is the best commentary on itself, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again and notice how the Lord puts this in perspective. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Paul had a little bit more spirituality to that. There were times when he didn't have food and raiment. He was still content. But he said, I'll cut you guys some slack. If you got some food and you got some clothes, be content. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, watch it, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The old timer said, money obscures faith. If I've got enough to take care of all my necessities, what do I need God for? That's the attitude. And we all have noticed that we pray more fervently when the bills are before us and the money's not in the bank. All of a sudden our faith really increases. Oh God! So the more you serve money, the less your faith will be. And that's an absolute fact. I mean, there's nothing you can do to get away from that. It just happens. And as long as you're content with godliness, then it won't tear up your faith. But here he said, some coveted after, and they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. All right, now just a couple more things so you can get the comparisons that are in our text, the practical truths that are there. The more you serve God, the more you will seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's what he said here. He said in verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He said, you don't have to worry about it. I know you have need of it. I'll take care of it. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory of Christ Jesus. So the more you serve God, the more you will seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A couple of examples. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. What's been the context of our study this morning? He said, food, drink, and raiment, right? Look what Paul said about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat, that was the subject of our text, or drink, that was in our subject, or whatsoever you do, do all to what? The glory of God. See, the more you serve God, the more you'll seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Colossians chapter 3 also shows us some helpful information here. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 17 and 23. Colossians 3, verses 17 and 23. He says this, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's verse 17. And then look at verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to what? The Lord, and not unto men. So the more you serve God, the more you're going to be concerned with His kingdom. The more you're going to be concerned with His righteousness. And I noticed that transition take place in my life, and I've watched it take place in your life. When I was in the banking business and the Lord caught me and I began to serve the Lord, I all of a sudden had a lot more interest in the destination of the soul of the customers I was dealing with than I did in how they were going to pay the bank back. I mean, I had to be interested in how they were going to pay the bank back, but I was also more interested in, and I got rid of a lot of the note forms that were in the credenza and put Bibles and tracts in there, and took some time to talk with these people about their souls because why? It's the natural thing that when you start to serve God, you become more concerned with His kingdom and more concerned. If you're a worrywart, consider the possibility that you may be more in service to your finances than you are in service to the Lord. Watch what he says in verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And that's true. There's enough to worry about today without having to worry about tomorrow. He gives us one example that we need to see in Luke chapter 12. There are many examples, but one we need to see, Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, he said this. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He's a good farmer, good land. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits, bumper crop. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? See, he was in service to his money, and he neglected the most important thing. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And so the more you serve money, the more you'll be worried about tomorrow. But it's a futile effort, because when tomorrow finally does come, all the possession and all the wealth is gone. What remains is what's happened with the Lord Jesus Christ in your soul. So this is an excellent text as far as us helping to understand what went wrong with the Jews that God was addressing the day that Jesus Christ spoke these things. But also we've seen some great practical truths that help us. There are some great benefits in serving the Lord. The more you serve God, the less concerned you'll be with your basic necessities. The greater your faith will be, and the more concerned you'll be with the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Those are good things. Amen? Amen. Any questions? All right. Father, we thank You for this morning's opportunity to study a few verses out of Your words, and we ask You please to help us to remember these things. And each day as we go, to consider our own lives in light of this text, how much our service is to the Lord God and how much our service is to the temporal things around us, and help us to bring those things in proper balance to be pleasing to Thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.